Okay, today's daf is Avodah Zarah, daf Samach Gimel. We're holding on daf Samach Beis and Beis toward the end of the page, about 10 lines before the end of the page, to Bei Rabbi Yannai. So the Gemara is going to discuss whether if you exchange an item for Peros Shavias, meaning you give Peros Shminis after the Peros Shavias are already eaten, whether those Peros Shminis are a problem. Do we assume that they're considered Chalipe Peros Shavias? Or is it no, the Peros Shavias are already gone? Also, is an animal considered to be Esnan if it's paid only after the Bia is over? So those two topics are going to take up the majority of the daf, that which you exchange for Peros Shavias, but afterwards, and that which one exchanges for the services of a zona, but afterwards. And the Gemara is going to discuss when post-paid esnan does and doesn't count as esnan, and how in the world the woman is kona it at the point of the bia. The Gemara is also going to discuss what if a woman is makdish an animal, but not yet makrev the animal before the bia happens. Does that take on the status of esnan and become us, or does it not? Then on the bottom of Amud Aleph, the Gemara is going to discuss paying workers who might use that money for a different isurin. They might use it to buy peros shavias. They might use it to buy things that are problems of meiser. They might use it to buy yayin nesach. And then the Gemara is going to give three different explanations of a brisa that implies that post-paid money for shavias is usur, especially in light of the fact that today's daf, as we said, is going to start with the comment that post-paid shavias exchange for shavias is mutter, that it is not considered to be Chalife Shavias. So there's going to be a brisa that seems to say otherwise, that someone gives Shavias and then much later something is given in return, that it's going to be Usher. So we're going to have three different explanations of how to make sense of that. And then at the very end of the daf, we're going to discuss a case where a Jew is hired to destroy Yayin Nesach. Is that a problem called Rotze B'Kiyumo? That since I'm getting paid to destroy the Yayin Nesach, I really need that Yayin Nesach to be around until I do my job, otherwise I won't have a job. So is that a violation of Rotze B'Kiyumo? And that's going to have many ramifications in terms of Hilchos Chametz, because you have a very similar issue of Rotze B'Kiyumo when it comes to Hilchos Chametz. So let's begin at about 10 lines from the end of the page, Debei Rabbi Yannai. So the Gemara says, Debei Rabbi Yannai, Yasvi Peros Shavias Me'aniyim, Uparlu B'Shminis. In the house of Rabbi Yannai, they would lend Peros Shavias to the Aniyim, and they would borrow Peros Shavias rather from Aniyim, and they would pay them back with Peros of the eighth year. Meaning, so they would take, the Aniyim had Shemitah produce, you're allowed to eat Shemitah produce. The Aniyim gave the Debei Rabbi Yannai the Shemitah produce, they ate it without giving them anything in return yet, and then the following year they took some of their produce from the eighth year and they gave that to the Aniyim. So Asur Amr Leil Rabbi Yochanan, they told Rabbi Yochanan that this is what was happening. Amr Lehu Ya'us Hein Avdin, what they're doing is perfectly fine, and not only is that perfectly fine, Ukenegdan Be'esnon Mutter, to make an Esnon payment in a similar fashion would also be Mutter, meaning if the Bia happens and then at a later date the money is paid, the animal is given over as payment, that is not going to be a violation of Esnon. If you look at Rashi, Upariluhu Bishminis, Ishtakach Da'achli Aniyim Bishminis, Acharabiur, Chalife Peroshvias. What's going on over here is that the Aniyim eat it after the biur, in exchange for the peroshvias. So Yosein Abdin, Kivan de Yishaita Lohavu Hanach Be'en, says Rashi. Why is it okay? It's okay because the peroshvias are not around anymore. Velo ichlufe hani bahani, lav chalipininu, velo chayla kedusha shvias alayhu. It's not considered a chalipin because by the time the peroshminis were given to them, the peroshvias were no longer in the world. So you can't call that chalipin, you can't call that something that has Kedusha Shvius, and therefore it's perfectly acceptable. Says Tosfos, Yazfi Peru Shvius Me'aniyim Uparilu B'Shminis, Ishtakach Da'ach Li'aniyim B'Shminis La'ach Rabir Chalifi Peru Shvius. That's what Rashi had said. Says Tosfos, Tzarech Lefarish, She'isur Haya Mashayu Ochlu Mosan B'cheska Shelohem. What would be the problem over here? That they would eat it B'cheska, that it's theirs. Di'ilu B'Torah Shvius, Afilu Peru Satsman Yicholan Aniyim Le'achol, Lukul Yalma. So what if the Shemitah produce were still around by the time you gave them the Peros Sheminis? So why would that be a problem? We're saying it's only because they're not around, so it's not a problem. Why would that be a problem? The Aniyim are allowed to eat the Peros Sheminis themselves. So what? You're giving them Peros Sheminis, which now take on the status of Kedusha Shavis? So what? They're allowed to eat that. They're allowed to eat the Perishvias themselves. So Tosfos says, now the Isser is that they're machzikit betara shalahem. They consider it to be something that belongs to them as opposed to Perishvias, which are supposed to be hefker. Lukulian, because aniyim are for sure allowed to eat Perishvias, kedani betosefta, higia shasabir, aniyim ochl machar biur, velo ashirim, divrabiudor, biosi amerach aniyim vechar, ashirim ochl machar biur. After the shasbir, there's a machlokas whether ashirim are allowed to eat Peros Shavuos, but there's no machlokas that aniyim are allowed to. Inami aniyim are you also mem melugma uschora lefichach ekpidu aleim also shba va'amr l'Rabbi Yochanan. Or maybe no. Maybe the concern is that the aniyim were not just eating it. If they were just eating it, no one would have ever reported this to Rabbi Yochanan, trying to suggest that it would be problematic. No, the issue is they were doing schora with the peros. So if it has kedusha shavuos, you're certainly not allowed to do schora with Peros Shavuos. And then the next Tosfos has a few important comments. Yo'us hein avdin. So Rabbi Yochanan says, it's fine. It's no problem what they're doing. So says Tosfos in the second line of the Tosfos, l'fi zeh. Based on this, afilu b'shvius atzma yichol nefroa im kvar ochlu Peros Shavuos. You know, the key over here is that the Peros Shavuos no longer exist by the time the payment is made. So it doesn't have to happen in the eighth year that the payment is made. The payment could have happened during the Shemitah year also. And whatever is given as payment does not take on the status of Kedusha Shavuos as long as the Shavuos stuff is not around anymore. Vahid amin b'lul v'gazul. Aye, but we say Masechta Sukkah, d'mavliya d'mei esro belulav, that if you're buying a Shemitah Esrog, you have to make sure that you don't pay for the Esrog, you're paying for the Lulav, and you're getting the Esrog for free, along with the Lulav. Who had in below avla im ayamar tzrotzalahak evachiyichle esrog loyakan deme shvius. There's another eitzah. You could just not pay until after the esrog is already gone. So you'll only pay the money at that point in time, and then it won't have the status of deme shvius. When we can't dicte karav Rabbi Elchanan alach lemaisa shim yesh biad Yisrael yai nesach lavod zchavim dvar masurim. If a Jew has a variety of dvar masurim yai nesach lavod zara machron liovod kolchav. That the non-Jew buys it and then the non-Jew sells it all before making the payment to the Jew. That money is going to be mutter for the Jew to use, even though the Isser still exists, since it has already been passed along. And that even if the non-Jew has not resold it to someone else, but he already did a Meshicha prior to paying, that payment is going to be mutter, similar to the case of Esnan. The Avodah Zarah was not in the Rishus of the Yisrael at the time that the money was paid. What about this story of Rabbi Yanai where the Dvei Rabbi Yanai, they got Peros Shavuos, they paid back with Peros Shminis. How are you allowed to pay back with Peros? Isn't that a violation of Ribbis? I'm going to give you the same exact amount of Peros that you gave me. There's a violation of Ribbis Midraban called Sa Bisa, because the price of Peros fluctuates. So you gave me X amount of Peros that was worth $100. I give you back the same amount of Peros, but now that amount of Peros might be worth $110. So Tosfos points out that when it's Sa Bisa, it's Mutter if Yeshlo. If at the time that I take delivery from you, I have Peros to give back to you, make the deal that I don't give it back to you yet, I'm only going to give it back to you later, that's not a violation of Sa Bisa. So this idea that the Dvei Rabbi Yanai would borrow the Peros Shavuos during the Shnas HaShemitah, and they'd give back Peros of Shemitah, Shminis, and it's not a problem. There's no Chavas Biur on the Peros Shminis, because even though it looks like they're Chalipe Peros Shvius, so they're Chalipe Peros Shvius. So based on this Maisa, the Poskim discuss about a person who borrows a loaf of bread of Chametz on Erev Pesach, and he has to return it after a different loaf of bread after Pesach. That since he's lova bizman heter, he has a chiyuv mamun gomer to return that which he is lova. That's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Hilchos Pesach in Simin Taf Nun Seif Aleph. Now Rashi over here explains that the reason that it doesn't have kedusha shviyas is because at the time that he pays back the alva, the perush shviyas are no longer be'en, so it's not considered chalife shviyas. So they don't have kedusha shviyas. Kedusha shviyas is not going to be transferred onto the 8th year produce. L'chora, from Rashi, it seems that if the perush shviyas were be'en at the shas apiraon, then kedusha shviyas would be chal on the peros. So therefore, the same would be true when it comes to the borrowing the kikar and erev Pesach. That if the kikar still exists, so then it's aser to be machzir another kikar to the malva afterwards. So Rav Shlomo Kluger in his sefer Korban Pesach writes that Shitas Rashi is that in order to be matir, you need the peros or the kikar not to be kayim at the shas piron achov. And he says the reason is because when the peros or the kikar exist, you could give back the halva itself. You can give back the item itself. And since you're able to return the item itself, so if you return something else, you are now being machlif zebazeh. Because I could have given back the actual peroshvis. I didn't. I gave back the peroshvinis. So that is an exchange, a direct exchange for the peroshvis. So the Makar Chaim writes that when it comes to chametz, though, the kaladeos, you don't need the kikar to be kayim at the shas piron hachov, and even if the kikar remains throughout Pesach and it's nesar bana, the lova can give another kikar for what he had borrowed. When Rashi says that the peros not the end, that's only by shviyas where it's tofesas astameha. So if the peros shviyas are still around the shas piron hachov, they're tofes and mekadesh the peros that you're going to give back in return. But the same would not be true when it comes to chametz, which doesn't have such a din of tfisas danim. Let's see the Gemara further now. So we had mentioned this din not only when it comes to shviyas, but when it comes to esnon as well. That the man has biyah with the woman, he only pays the esnon later, so the esnon does not have the status of esnon. It does not have the forbidden status of esnon zona. So Ditanya says the Braisa, nasan velo ba'aleha, or ba'aleha velo nasan la esnon amutar. If the man gives her an esnon, but never actually has biyah with her, or has biyah with her, but never actually pays her the esnon, so then the esnon is going to be mutar. So doesn't matter, what in the world does that mean? Neither of those cases make sense. Definition of esnon is that there's an exchange of services for payment. If you have only services but no payment, there's nothing to talk about. If you have only payment but no services, there's nothing to talk about. Nasan lo bala pshita, kiven lo bala matana me'alma u'diavla. What? Every time you give a woman a gift, you're going to call it esnon? She never did anything. There was no bia. It's just a matana be'alma. Why would that be a problem? Visu, in the other case, ba'ala havalo nasala. He's ba'ala and he doesn't give her an esnon. Halo yavla v'lo midi. There's nothing to talk about. There's no item that you could discuss. Does it have the status of esnon or not? The kivin de lo nasan la, my esnon a mutter. What do you mean the esnon is mutter? There is nothing. He didn't give anything. El achikamer. No, what it really means to say is not that he didn't give at all, but that the timing of it was different. Nasan la va'achar kach ba'aleha. He prepaid the esnon and then he was ba'al her. Or, oh, ba'aleha va'achar kach nasan la. He was ba'al her and then postpaid the esnon. In both of those cases, esnon and mutter. That doesn't have the real status of esnon. The esnon is going to be mutter. So says Gemara, wait, if he prepaid the esnon and was then boel her, at the moment that he's boel her, doesn't that mean that it's igloy milsul mafreya, that what he had paid her was the payment for her services, and therefore that should be absolute esnon? Samra blazer kishakadma vikrivaso. It would be, problem is over here, she was already makrivit as a korban by the time the bia had happened. So it was gone already by the time the bia had happened. So we don't say, oh, the mafreya, it turns out that was esnan and there was something wrong with the korban. No, at the shas hakrovas hakorban, there was no bia yet. So since there was no bia yet at the shas hakrovas hakorban, so the korban is kosher. Says Gemara, well, hechidami. How could she have brought it as a korban? She hadn't earned it yet. It only becomes hers once she provides her services. If the guy said to her, k'ni laich me'achshav, I want you to be kona this animal right now, even though there was no ma'isa bia whatsoever yet, pshita d'shari, of course it's going to be mutter. Well, at the shas bia, it's no longer here. She was absolutely kona it beforehand. It was some take out this girsa, but l'chore makes sense. Umatana bi'alohu di'ayivla. He was just giving it to her as a matana in advance, and it really has nothing to do with the bia that subsequently happens. And if he did not, at the time that he gave her the animal, tell her, I want you to be kone it right now, well, hechi matzi mikrava. How could she be makriv, such an animal? The ish ki yakdish as beso kodesh, amrachmana. The Torah says, you know what you're allowed to be makdish? Something that belongs to you. But ma beso b'rashuso, I've called b'rashuso. You can only be makdish things that actually belong to you. You can't be makdish something that does not belong to you. So how in the world would she be allowed to be makdish as a carbon to begin with if the deal was that she's only kona it at the time of the bia? Now the case must be that he told her, you get to hang on to it until shas bia, but it's not really yours, but v'mitztarich laich k'ni me'achshav. Meaning he directly links this payment to the bia, but he says, if you really need it beforehand, then we'll allow the kinyan to be chal earlier. So if you want to use it for a carbon or for something that for your own personal needs beforehand, then we'll allow the kinyan to be chal all the way back to me achshav. It'll work back to right now. So if you look at the top tosel, damar lehavi gabayach kolomar lo tikni ad shasbia. Really, the kinyan should only happen at the shasbia. That's why it's not so obviously mutter, like we said in the previous, when we were asking, we said, well, if he's allowing her to be kona right now, then there's no connection to the bia. No, he's making a connection to the bia by saying that in his ideal world, she will not be kona it until the bia. But it's also not obviously esnan, even though he's linking it to the bia, because he's also giving her the ability to be kona me'achshav. That must be the case where we're going to say that it does have the potential status of esnan, but in fact is not esnan as long as she's makrivit by the time the bia happens. But if she's not makrivit by the time the bia happens, then in a chinami it would take on the status of esnan. So says Gemara, does she have to be makrivit by the time the bia happens, or does she only need to be makdish the animal by the time the bia happens? By Rav Hoshea, kadma vihikti shaso mahu. What if she was makdish before the bia? Do we say that since there's such a notion of amir legvoh as kemisir lahedyot, that just by saying that you're going to give something to the mikdash is a full act of kinyan, just like a mesira would be when you're giving to a regular person? So it's, by just being makdish, it says if she was already makrivit, or do we say no? Right now, it's still be'en, it still exists. So if it's still be'en, then it will take on the status of esnon. So says Gemara, well, we could answer it very simply. V'tivshot mid Reb Lazar, we just quoted Reb Lazar, Dam Reb Lazar, shekadma v'hikrivaso. Reb Lazar says, what's the case where it's not going to be a problem of esnon? She was makrivit before the bia. So he was very careful to say she was makrivit before the bia. He did not say she was makdishit before the bia, apparently, because that would not suffice. Dafka hikrivaso avlikdishaso lo. Only if she's makrivit before the bia does that avoid the problem of esnan. But apparently being makdishit before the bia does not avoid the problem of esnan, and that's why Rebbe Lazar dafka said makriv. Says Gemara, not necessarily. Rebbe Lazar gufei kami ba'ilei. Maybe Rebbe Lazar himself wasn't sure where to go with this. May mivshat pshitalei Rebbe Lazar dakrivasa dafka v'kdishasa lo da'isei b'shas bia. On the one hand, you could say Rebbe Lazar was certain, meaning we know that Rebbe Lazar dafka said if she's makriv Makriv before the Bia, that's how you avoid Asnan. But being Makdish before the Bia wouldn't do it. Or maybe Rav Lazar himself really wasn't sure what the halacha would be if she was Makdish before the Bia, so he went with the sure thing. He said she's Makriv before the Bia because he knew what the halacha is in that case. But maybe he wasn't certain whether it takes on the status of Asnan when she's only Makdish it before the Bia. So take who the Gemara leaves that as an unresolved issue. Now we raise this notion of amiraso legvo kemisiraso lehediot. So even though we don't have the Beis Hamikdash anymore, this does play a role in halacha. The Rush writes in the Tshuva in Klal Yud Gimel Siman Aleph, when it comes to tzedakah, when a person is motzi besvasav, he says that he wants to give tzedakah, he has to be mekayim his neder. But if he's chashav believer, if he only thinks I'm going to give, he doesn't have to give, he's able to be chozerbo. And that's what the Ritva writes in Masechah Shavuos as well. But the Ritva says that if he's Mekayim, when he's Gomer Belibo, he's Yirei Shamayim, Malav Nemar, Dover Amis Bulvavo, meaning whenever one commits even mentally to something to fulfill the Dvarim Shabalev is a wonderful thing, but not an absolute requirement. The Mordechai in the first part of Kedushin and the Ma'arik in Sharish Kufnun Tes write that no, even Machshava alone is Mechayiv a person to give. When it says Amira Legavoa and it doesn't say Machshava Legavoa, that's because if a person says that he's going to give, then we can even be kof for him to be mekayim diburo, to be mekayim what he said. So yeah, amirasa legavah kemisirasa ledyo, to the point that if you take him to Beis Din, they can force him to follow through. But even machshava belev is enough that his own personal requirement is to actually give it, even though Beis Din may not be able to force him. So it's 2 days in Rishonim. When a person makes a mental commitment to tzedakah, does he have to actually give it? The Ramah quotes both deos in Hilchot Tzedakah and Yardeos in Reishon and Ches, Sif Yud Gimel, and the Ramah seems to side with the Shita that he has to be Mekayim Machshavaso Shebelev. Whatever he committed to, belev. Of course, that's only if he actually committed to it, belev. Thinking about it without making a commitment that this is what I'm going to do would probably not be considered a real commitment, belev. In the Tshuva's Das Eish, he writes that even according to those who hold that machshava l'tzedakah is considered like a mesira, that's only if he says that I'm going to give tzedakah and the machshava was about how much. But if he doesn't even say anything, everything was only b'machshava, then there's no commitment whatsoever. Not everyone agrees with that. The Chassam Sofer, in his comments on Shulchan Aruch and in the Tshuva as well, seems to disagree with that. But that's the suggestion of some poskim. So in Tshuva of the Debrei Tzina Rav, in Chelek Beis and Ches, he was asked, what if a person simply wrote a check, Litzarach Tzedakah? Is that considered like Amira, or is that considered like Machshava Shebelev? So if he never said a word, but he wrote a check and then he thought again about it and ripped up the check. So is he obligated to give that amount that's in the check? So he writes that if he were to write down Hareini Noder Kach VeKach LeTzedakah, so we would paskin that Ksiva is Kedibur Dami on such a neder. If he were to actually take a neder that I'm going to give this amount to Tzedakah, so that would be Kedibur Dami. But he's not sure over here. He didn't say Hareini. You know, there he just wrote a check. So he said, the Chorot's telling the Machlokas of Poskim by Machshavat Tzedakah when he was not Motzi Bisfasav at all. Assuming not like the Yesh Das, that if he didn't say Beferish at any point that he wants to give Tzedakah, that he would not be Chayiv, so probably he would be obligated to give that amount, even though he changed his mind about the check. Okay, let's see the Gemara further now. We're at the second wide line, Samach Kimel Amar Aleph, at the two dots. Ba'ala v'achar kach nasan la esnan amutr. We said that if the man is ba'al the woman, and then at a later date he gives the esnan, that esnan is mutr, is not considered to be esnan. Ur'minhi, but I'll ask you, stira, ba'ala v'achar kach nasan la afil mikan v'ad shalosh shanim esnan asr, that if he pays the esnan even up to three years after the Shasbiyah, it's still going to be Aser. So which is it? We said that if he postpays the Asnan, it's Mutter. Now we're saying that up until 3 years, it's still going to be Aser. Amr Nachum Yitzchak Amr Rav Chisda Lo Kasha. Hadam Rispal Li Bitla Zeh. It depends if he identifies the animal that he's going to give to pay for payment. If he identifies the animal in advance, then even up to 3 years later, it's going to be usher. But if he says when he gives her a particular tle later on, that is not going to be a violation of esnan. Says why does it matter that he said b'tlezeh? After all, it is mechusar meshicha, meaning she has not yet been kona it. There's no maisa kinyan on it. So says Gemara b'zona, avol tchavim v'lo kanya b'meshicha. We're talking about a zona who's not Jewish. She doesn't require a kinyan meshicha. V'ibayseimel liolam b'zona Yisraelis u'gon dekoy b'chatzera. Or it might even be a Jewish zona, but the animal that he identified happens to be in her chater. So at the Shas Bia, her chater is automatically kona it, it becomes her. So it says, wait, but if she's if it's omid b'chatzera, so what do we mean that he's boiled her and then he gives it to her? There's no and then he gives it to her. She's kona it right away at the Shas Bia. Her chater is kona it for her right then, at that moment. Rashi points out, how can you say that it's even called the case of Bala Vacharkach Nasla? It's in Ruchatzer. She's already Kona. So says Mar Lo Tzricha Deshavi Nehale Apotiki. It's not that he had agreed to use this animal as the definitive form of payment in advance. No, he was going to pay her cash, but he set aside this animal as an apotiki. If I don't come up with the cash, then this animal is your guarantee. You can collect this animal. Damrula, if I pay you by a certain date, great. V'lo shakli besnanech. But if I don't pay you by that date, then you could take this as your esnan. Rav Zilberstein discusses a case in Chashukei Chemer over here. Reuven sells the Sefer Torah to Shimon and he takes money for the Sefer Torah, but no kinyan has been done on the Sefer itself, and now Reuven wants to back out of the deal. Is he subject to the curse of Mishapara like anyone else who's chozer la'achar kabbalas ma'os? So he points out our sugya ba'ala v'archakach nasana esnana mutter. I thought I'd shaloshadim esnana aser. So he said no. One is where he says b'tlazeh. One is where he says b'tlastam. So Gemara says, well, tlazeh hamachusar meshicha. So asks the tumim, what does Gemara ask hamachasar meshicha? You don't have meshicha. Who cares whether you had meshicha or not? You have an obligation to keep your word. You have to be omid b'diburo and to bring her the tleh. And if you're chozer bo, so you're subject to the terrible curse of a mishapara. The mishapara manshidara mabul manshidara flaga hu yifra. He's also going to pay back this person and punish this person. After all, the Gemara in Baba Kama daf ayinam beis tells us that esnan asra Torah afilu ba'alimo, that even though he doesn't have to b'dinei adam, a man who's boel his mother doesn't have to pay her for her services, because kamle b'drabine is ready chayv misa for the sin of arayos, but since he has to pay her b'dinei shemayim, that tle has the status of esnan. So the same should be over here. Since he's koy b'mishapara, if he doesn't keep his word, it's a violation of a mishapara, so the tle should have a status of an esnan. So in the Sefer Yeshuas Yaakov, in the end of Hilchos Pesach, he quotes from the Ben HaMechaber that a mekach that's done be'isser doesn't have a mishapara. Like Beis Yosef writes in Chosh Mishpat, and the Sma over there, so by esnan there's no din of mishapara. As far as the tumim is concerned, says the Avnei Nezer that in the case of esnan, it's not considered a mekach that's done be'isser, because that's only when the psika was be'isser. So we say that the psika was not done at all. But over here, the psika to give it to Le was heter. That was totally mutter. Even though he then subsequently violated the avera of the bia, ma'ida hava. That has nothing to do with being mevatel the psika. So Shulchan Aruch paskins in Yerdei Simon Ayin Reish. Eino Rashi L'Machro Afilu Sheish L'Abrei Sefer Torah. There's an Isser, you're not allowed to sell a Sefer Torah. So it could be that since there's an Isser B'Mechira, the Psika was B'Isser, there is no Mishapara. Meaning, based on the analysis of this Sugya, whenever the initial deal was an Asser deal, you weren't allowed to make it, it could be that there's no Mishapara. So if a person's not allowed to sell a Sefer Torah, and he did, it could be that there's no problem of Misha Para in backing out of the deal because the entire psika was be'isir. Okay, says the Gemara further now. Where we have the Amala, but no, we are up to. Two lines. Okay, Masrav Sheshes. Omar Adam L'Chamara V'Lupaolav. A person says to his workers, to his Chamar and his Paolin, L'chu V'Ichlu B'Dinar Zeh. I have to pay you, so here's a dinar, go enjoy yourselves. Tzu Shusu B'Dinar Zeh. Here's a dinar, go and drink whatever you want. Ve'ino, and he's allowed to do that. Ve'ino Choshesh Lo Mishum Shvius, V'Lo Mishum Meiser, V'Lo Mishum Yayin Esach. He doesn't have to worry that they're going to use that money to buy Peru Shvius from someone who's selling Peru Shvius, or that they're going to use that money to buy Tevel from someone who's Chashan and Maisos, or they can use that money to buy Yayin Nesech, and they're going to be Nene from Yayin Nesech. You don't have to worry about any of that. V'im Amar Lehem, but if he says, Tzu'u v'chlu v'ani poreya, you go to the store and you eat whatever you want, and I'm going to pay the storekeeper for whatever you take, Tzu'u sh'su v'ani poreya, then choshish mishum shviyas, umishum meiser, umishum Yayin Nesech. Then it does become his problem. Alma ki kapara dmei yisr kapara. Apparently, we view the money that he gives as the chalipin of the yisr. So whatever he's giving is the dmei shvius. Well, hachanami ki kapara dmei yisur kapara. Well, wait a second. What about our case of the dmei Rabbi Yanai? What happened? They took peros shvius. They paid back peros shminus, and we said, nah, that's no problem. That is not a violation. That's not considered to be a chalipin of peros shvius. Well, why not? Meaning you're paying back something that is in exchange for shvius. So Tirgum Rav Chista b'chenveni amakifo demishtabdilei. Now this is talking about a chenveni, a storekeeper who you typically go to all the time and he always sells it to you on credit. So the balabayis, the chenveni knows to trust the balabayis, and therefore whatever the balabayis ultimately gives the chenveni, it's as if at the time the chenveni is providing the shmita produce that he's already being paid for it right then. Since it's their practice that he sells it to him on credit, it's as if he's kona the dinar right away. But what would be the din of a chenveni where you don't sell it by kafa, mutter? Then the halacha is going to be that it's mutter. Frak the Gemara ihachi aditani tzu v'chlu b'dinu zeh tzu shu b'dinu zeh. Instead, the Brisa wanted to come up with a case where it's mutter, you don't have a problem. What did the Brisa say? You just pay the workers directly and then they go and tell them, go eat and drink whatever you want. But instead of giving that case, we could have incorporated a chenveni into both the case that's problematic and the case that's mutter, and said as follows, that bamed var mamurim b'chenveni amakifo dimishtabdilei, aval chenveni shein makifo mutter, that the only time you have a problem with the chenveni is when he sells it to you on credit. Since he trusts you and he sells it to you on credit, whatever you're giving him is considered an exchange for the shemitah produce. But whatever is ein makifo is going to be totally mutter. Va'od chenveni shein makifo milo mishtabdilei. And furthermore, just because he doesn't typically sell it to you on credit, what? That means that there's no shibud? That whatever you give him is not an absolute obligation to give him in exchange for what he's given you? Even though you're not getting direct hana'a from what the chenveni is giving, because he's giving it to a third party, there is such a thing called a kinyan midin arev, that you can take responsibility, just like a co-signer can take responsibility for something, even though he personally is not getting anything in return. You lend that guy money, and I will be responsible to pay you. And that's a real kinyan. I'm actually going to be responsible to pay you, even though you didn't lend me any money. So the same over here, the boss is telling the chenveni, go give food to the workers, and I will be responsible to pay you. So that should be a real opinion. So Rava says a second understanding. We're going to have three in total. He says, no, the case where we say that the chenveni has to worry about, that the boss has to worry about paying the workers by having them go to the chenveni, and the boss paying the chenveni directly is not a case of where he has a relationship with him and he always sells ba'kafa. No, lo shna makifo, it doesn't make a difference if he normally sells it to him on credit or he doesn't have a relationship where he sells him on credit. Even though you do become meshuba to pay the chenveni, but the exact items that you're going to pay the chenveni with were never identified in advance, therefore it does not take on the status of chalipe shvius, chalipe yayinesech, chalipe tevel. It doesn't take on the status of such things. But then why would it be a problem? Meaning, why are we saying in our case that it is a problem that you can't tell your workers, go take produce from the chenveni, and I'm going to pay the chenveni? Now the case is where hikdim lo dinar, as Rashi points out, you prepaid the chenveni. You gave the chenveni money and you say, listen, when my workers come, give them food. So now you have to worry if the food that he's giving them is Shavia's food. Da'ashta, says Rashi, da'ashta mi de balabayis ka'achli l'sur didehu. Now they're eating from that which belongs to the balabayis. The balabayis has paid for that food that the chenveni is giving, and he's already paid for it by the time the chenveni has given it. So that's a second approach. Amar Rav Kana Amrisa L'Shmaita Kameid Rav Zvid Min Arda. He says, I've told this over to Rav Zvid Min Arda. Amrili Ihachi Adetani Tzu'uvi Chlu Tzu'uvi Shesuva Ani Pareah. He says, well, then the phrasing is pretty poor. If that's really the case, that the boss had prepaid the chenveni, then why does the Braisa say that the boss gives the instructions to his workers, Tzu'uvi Chlu, go out and eat, Tzu'uvi Shesu, go out and drink, Ve'ani Pareah. And don't worry, I will pay for it. No, not I will pay for it. It should be and I'll cheshbin out whether I had already paid enough or I need to pay more or he owes me change. You know, I'll do the cheshbonos later. Me, by the way, that's what it really should have said. I'll make a cheshbin with him. It should not have said I will then pay it. So I'm late to me to vani mechashiv. Okay, change the words. Make it vani mechashiv. Ravashi Omar. Ravashi says no. A third approach. Kigon shenatal v'nasan biyad. That the case is that he actually took it physically with his hands from the chenveni and he gave it to them. Meaning, it's not that he says, go to the chenveni and eat whatever he gives you. He goes to the chenveni, takes the shviyas food from the chenveni and gives it to the workers. Amalei Rav Yehuda Ravashi, Rav Yehuda says Ravashi, well, wait a second, then the phrasing is really off. Ihachi adetni, tzu'uv chlu, tzu'uv ishsu, the language shouldn't be go out and eat, go out and drink. The language should be take this and eat, take this and drink, because he's the one that's actually giving it. Samlay says, yeah, okay, you should learn it, you should change the phrase, it should be take this and eat, take this and drink, because we're talking about a case where he's giving it to him directly. So now the Gemara raises another shayla. Yasser v'nachem v'vul v'avimi bar papi v'yasser rabbi chia barami gabayu. That Rav Nachman and Ula and Avimi Bar Papi and with Rav Chia Bar Ami sitting by them, Biyasev coming by Lu, raised the following shayla: Scharo lishpor b'yayinesach mahu. What if a Jew is hired to destroy yayinesach, to break barrels of yayinesach and allow the wine to spill all over the place? Mi amir and kiven de rotsa b'kiyumo aser odil makalum utetif la shapir dami. Do we say gevaldik? What an amazing job! His job is to get rid of yayinesach. So that's great. Or no, maybe because in order for him to get paid, he needs that yayinesach to exist until he shows up to work that day. That's a violation of rotsa b'kiyumo. He's happy that the yayinesach is going to exist. So Amar Rav Nachman Yishbar v'tavol of bracha. So Rav Nachman says, good, let him break it, tavol of bracha. It's a wonderful thing. Nothing bad is gonna happen from that. That's a good thing. Now this idea of rotsa b'kiyumo is not only a problem when it comes to Yayin Nesach, it's also an issue when it comes to Chametz and Pesach. The Shulchan Aruch Paskin in Simin Tav Gimel that when it comes to Chametz, there's a violation of Rotsa B'Kiyumo in the following sense, that it's usher to rent out your kli to a guy on Pesach in order for him to cook chametz in the kli on Pesach for himself, his own chametz, just using your kli, because you are Rotsa B'Kiyumo of the chametz. Why are you Rotsa B'Kiyumo of the chametz? Because if he uses your pot and cooks on an open fire, if there's no food in the pot would break. It's only because of the food that's in the pot that the pot is not being damaged. So you need that chametz in the pot in order for the pot not to be damaged. So that there is such a notion of rotzu b'kiyumo of chametz on Pesach. So the question is, how far does that din of rotzu b'kiyumo go? What if you have a person who's hired to destroy chametz on Pesach, chametz of a guy on Pesach, for whatever reason the guy needs to get rid of it, needs to destroy it? Do we assume that it's a violation of rotzu b'kiyumo? So on the one hand, you would say, well, no, that's exactly there is an issue of rotzu b'kiyumo v'yayin nesach, but our Gemara says for whatever reason it's not a problem of rotzu b'kiyumo v'yayin nesach when you're hired to destroy it. But maybe yayin nesach is different because fundamentally there's a requirement to destroy all Yayin Nesach and rid the world of Yayin Nesach even from a guy. But by chametz, there's no requirement to get rid of a guy's chametz. There are other issues that relate to this that are much more nogei lemaisa, which maybe Be'ez Hashem will start with tomorrow. Other issues relating to Rotzu B'Kiyumo when it comes to chametz for Pesach.